On this first Sunday of the new year, I want to talk about why attend church. Why attend church? I run across a lot of people who say, I can be just as good a Christian and not go to church. I run across a lot who say, can I be a Christian and not go to church? Can I just stay at home and enjoy myself? I run across some that says, there's so many hypocrites in the church, I don't want to go there. I run across a few that says, you know, I used to go to church, but there was a problem in the church and I got hurt and those people wasn't living up to what they ought to be, and so I don't want to go back anymore. I run across a few people who say, just me and God, we can have our own thing going. I don't need to go associate with those other people. Just me and God. I can get out and go fishing and me and God can have a good time, you know, and I can worship Him there. So I want to talk about from the Bible, why we should attend church. And I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, a part of this verse I just shared with you. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. The first reason you ought to go to church. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now this command here is stated negatively, but it is a command to attend church. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. If I obey that command, what do? I come to church. I assemble with other Christians. Now, if you were to ask me, Lee, what is the primary reason we come to church? I would say to worship God. And I believe I'm right. That's the primary reason we come, is to corporately together to worship God. I think that the worship leaders, their primary purpose is to lead you to worship. That's the reason I don't particularly like worship services in which it comes across as a performance. The people up here perform and you are the audience and you watch them. I think that's mixed up. You're not supposed to be the audience. God's supposed to be the audience. You're supposed to be worshiping Him. These people up here are just leading you in that worship, that you worship Him, that you're giving praise and honor and glory to Him. I think that's the primary purpose of worship. But that's not what this verse talks about. This passage doesn't mention anything about worshiping God. What is the reason we come together according to this passage? And we can find other passages about worshiping God, John 4, 23 and 24. We can find plenty of passages on worshiping God, 1 Chronicles 16, 29, a lot of them. But this passage, what does this passage say? Why do I come to church? Tell me again. To encourage others. So I gather together to encourage others. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, because what you're supposed to do is to come together and encourage one another. Have you done that? You ever even thought about it? That's the reason I'm here. I come to encourage each other. Now, why do we need encouraging? Okay? Sometimes life's tough, right? Sometimes I get down in the dump. Sometimes I get discouraged. Sometimes I kind of drift away from the Lord a little bit. And coming to church should be a situation in which other Christians who are having a better week than I'm having will encourage me. That should happen at church. How about the weeks when they're having a bad week and I'm having a good week? What should I do? Encourage them. That should happen in church. Churches, if you study church buildings, it's very interesting. The latest trend in church building is You got to build a church that don't look like a church. If it looks like a church, it's not a good church. And I'm a little confused by that, but anyway, it looks like a warehouse, you know. But they went through a building stage in churches in which the foyer out there where you come in was as big as the auditorium. What was the reasoning behind that? Why would you do that? That's the fellowship. That's where you encourage each other. Now, we don't have a lot of room out there for you to, in our foyer, to encourage each other. We got a little bit of room back here. Oh, if we have a good Sunday, you just stand around in here and encourage each other after church. You ever seen that happen? I stand back there by myself, look like the Lone Ranger. You know, everybody's in here just talking to each other. And I think that's the greatest thing ever, because I think that's what's supposed to happen in church. I think that's what this verse is talking about, that we encourage one another. That's why we get together. Now, again, tell me, what is the command? Come to church. Oh, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. A direct command. We can go home. That's enough, isn't it? Isn't that enough? If God said do it, that should be enough. God said do it. Somebody says, can't I be just as good a Christian and stay home? Can't I be just as good a Christian and break a direct command in God's word? Don't think so. God says, through the Holy Spirit, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So coming to church is doing a part of what God said we ought to do. God said do it. If we don't do it, we are disobeying Him. And if we're disobeying Him, we're sinning. If we sin intentionally, on purpose, then there may not no longer be a sacrifice for our sin. Attending church is a requirement for Christians. God said do it. Just like He said, don't lie and don't steal and all those other things. Don't commit adultery. Come to church. It's a command. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Second reason. The first one was enough. So those of you who are sleepy, just doze off. I'll wake you up when we finish. Matthew 16:16. And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was talking to Jesus, and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build whose church? Whose church? My church. Jesus was speaking and he said, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. I think King James says, and the gates of hell shall not overpower it, or something of that nature. But the fact is, Jesus was going to build his church. The church belongs to him. We just finished a series of videos on our Wednesday night thing, and there were 10 video lessons that we looked at. And overall, I was very pleased with them. I was very excited about them. I think it was a good opportunity for us to have a discussion about what he was saying. But twice during the series, I was bothered by the fact that his presentation was against the church, against things that was going on in the church. And let me tell you how I thought about that. Those of you who are here know what I'm talking about. One of them was that the lady came in the back door of the church and all these spider webs and dust webs and all that stuff. And everybody there was at least 90 years old. And she was a young person and she just felt she wasn't comfortable there and all that stuff. And so it kind of came across as being against the church. But let me tell you something. When you speak against the church of Jesus Christ, you are speaking against Jesus. The New Testament presents the church as the bride of Christ. If you knew a very muscular guy that knew karate and all that stuff, he knew how to fight and all that kind of stuff, would you go up and say very much against his fiance? You see, when we talk against the church, we're talking against the bride of Christ. And I think it's very dangerous to do that. The church is not perfect. It has a lot of faults. All of them have a lot of faults. Some of them are better than others as far as the local church is concerned, but there's no perfect church. All of them has faults. All of them. And if you look far enough, you can always find those faults. Just hang out in there and you can find out some weaknesses in the church. But it is still the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. And somebody says, you know what? Me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. I'm not sure you and Jesus can have your own thing going without the church. The first reason was we're commanded to. The second reason is the church belongs to Jesus. The third reason is, I want you to look at Acts 20:28. Acts 20:28. The third reason has to do with the value of the church. The value of the church. Many of you have heard me say this before, but the value of anything is determined by what somebody is willing to pay for it. The value of anything is determined by what somebody is willing to pay for it. It's not determined by what everybody is willing to pay for it. It's determined by what somebody is willing to pay for it. I run around the dial and in the last few weeks seen the auction. What's the name of that auction, that car auction? Barrett Jackson car auction. And just fascinates me because sometimes they sell these cars that I grew up with. Sometimes I had one just like that and got rid of that thing. And they sell them for $40,000 and $50,000 and $60,000. And last week I was running around the dial and stayed on that channel about 2 minutes and saw one car that I thought was in my view, was the most valuable thing there. It got $40,000. The one before it got $100,000. The one after got $120,000. So they didn't use my valuation. How did they determine what the car is worth? What somebody is willing to pay. Not what everybody is willing to pay, but what somebody is willing to pay. That's how you determine the value of anything. If somebody is willing to pay $40,000 for a car, then the car is worth $40,000, even though I wouldn't pay that for it. And I want you to look at this verse. This is Paul talking to elders. He says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd what? The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The blood of the very Son of God was the price paid for the church. How much is the church worth? It is worth what somebody, Jesus, was willing to pay. And what he was willing to pay was his own blood. That makes the church very, very valuable. So somebody says, me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus, we just do our own deal. We go fishing and we have a good time and I worship him. I don't care anything about the church. I don't even like the church. Jesus liked the church, didn't he? He paid for it with his own blood. He purchased it. That means the church is valuable. That means the church is valuable. The first reason you're commanded to attend. The second reason is, belongs to Jesus. The third reason is, God the Son purchased it with his own blood. It's valuable. The fourth reason is found in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. John chapter 13, 34 and 35. a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Who was speaking? Jesus. Who was he speaking to? His disciples. Now, there is a passage in the Bible that says we need to love our neighbors ourselves. That I need to love everybody? This passage doesn't say that. There's a passage that says that, but that's not what this passage says. What does this passage say? I need to love other Christians. They will know we are disciples by our love. Suppose a guy is dating a girl and says, "I just love you. I think you're the greatest thing. I love you. You're the most important thing in my life. I love you. I care about you. But I can't come to see you tomorrow night because I got to go hang out with the guys. Can't come the next night because I'm playing ball. Can't come the next night because I'm going to spend some time with my parents. Can't come the next night because I just need some time alone sometime just to relax." And so it's about 4 weeks and he said, "I can't come. I love you. I think you're the greatest thing ever. I love you, but I can't spend any time with you." After a while, what does the girl figure out? They're not in love. He doesn't love her. Why not? If I love somebody, I want to spend time with that person, right? And if I'm finding excuses why I don't want to spend time with them, I need to check and see if I love them. If we love somebody, we want to spend time with them. Now, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So the world should know that we are Christians because we love each other. And again, there's a command we ought to love everybody. This command has to do with loving other Christians. Then know we're disciples because we love each other. And if we love each other, we want to spend some time with each other. Right? Sorry if I got some of you husbands in trouble there. Didn't mean to do that. You know, but we love somebody, we want to spend time with them. That's just normal. And so why do we go to church? Because we want to fellowship and share together with other Christians. If we use the illustration of husband and wife, there's no husband that's perfect, there's no wife that's perfect, and there's no church that's perfect. And I know people all the time say, "Well, I know some people down there at the church who doesn't live perfectly, so I don't want to go down there. I don't want to have anything to do with that church because there's some people in there that don't live perfectly." That's right. Somebody asked me, "There are hypocrites in the church?" Yeah. "I'm not going to church because there are hypocrites in the church." Well, my suggestion is, it is better to spend time with them in church than it is to spend time with them in eternity. It is better to spend time with them in church than it is to spend time with them in eternity. What number am I on? Number five is that we ought to go to church because of the example of the early church. Acts 2:42. "And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." Look at the four things they were doing. Tell me what they were. What was the first one? The apostles' teaching. What was the second one? Fellowship. What was the third one? Breaking of bread. What was the fourth one? What was the second one? Fellowship. Guess what that means? Being together with other Christians. That's what that means. Sharing a common life with other Christians. Being on the same team. Fellowship. That's an important part of what the Christians, the early Christians, devoted themselves to. Now let me explain very, very briefly the four things. The apostles' teaching is, what they did was they listened to the apostles teach, and they did what they said. That's what it means when it says they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles wrote down what they taught. We have it in the New Testament, so we ought to study the Bible and obey it. The third one was they continually devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, the communion. On a regular basis, they would do that. The fourth one is they continued to devote themselves to prayer. What was the second one again? Fellowship. And you see, it sounds very religious to say, okay, I'm going to devote myself to studying the Bible and do what it says. I'm going to devote myself to partaking of the communion on a regular basis. I'm going to devote myself to prayer. And they did. But they also devoted themselves to fellowship, of sharing together with other Christians. That's the reason the church ought to have situations in which you just spend time with other Christians. Sometimes we're so busy doing everything else, we don't have time for that. And yet that's a part of what it is to be a Christian, that I spend time with other Christians. Just share together with them. Now, sometimes when I spend time with them, I'm spending time studying the Bible and trying to apply it. I'm spending time around the Lord's table. I'm spending time in a prayer group praying. But I'd also just spend time just sharing with them. Linda and I decided, anyway, years ago we used to talk about having a date night. We'd go on somewhere once a week. Try to keep the fire alive or whatever. And I even suggest that to people who get married. Keep dating. Have some time in which you just date. You just do something together. As we've gotten older, we just enjoy, she's laying on the couch and I'm sitting in my recliner. We don't go anywhere, but we're together. Just being together. And if you love people, you just want to be with them. You just want to share with them. That doesn't mean that sometime you don't need to get away and be by yourself and do some other stuff. That you do need that too. But if you love somebody, you want to share with them. And if you love each other, like the church did, the early church, they devoted themselves to fellowship, to just sharing with other Christians. Number six, you need to partake of the Lord's Supper. You need to partake of the Lord's Supper together as a group, remembering that Jesus died for you. Paul wrote it this way in 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Somebody called me up and said, "You know, can't come to church this week. I got a lot of things I got to do. Real busy. I'm trying to clean up my garage. Can't come to church this week." There's something wrong with a Christian who will intentionally miss the Lord's Supper for almost anything. There's something wrong with a Christian who will intentionally miss gathering around the Lord's table for any kind of excuse. That is the central thing of what our worship is all about. Now, I know most preachers say the central thing is the preaching. The whole service builds up to the preaching. That's the most important part. That's not the most important part. This is the most important part. And it's in the center of the worship, because that's the center. That's when you reach your peak. You're winding down by the time you get to me. You know? Because that's the most important part. When a person becomes a Christian, he's new to it, he doesn't fully understand that. I say, you know, new people or visitors to our church thinks that's intermission. We had singing to start with, and we got preaching at the end, and in the middle we got an intermission. Not intermission, brother. It's the most important part of the whole thing. It's the most important part of everything we do. It is a time when you need to be relating to the Lord and talking to the Lord and praying and examining your own life and recommitting yourself to being the kind of person that He wants you to be. That is true because we do it every Sunday. Sometimes we fail to emphasize that this is important. This is important. I tell people, you know, you got to go out to go to the bathroom, wait to my sermon. Don't interrupt the Lord's Supper. But Lee, this is like intermission. We're not doing anything else. You're doing the most important thing there is to do. You're communing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should I come to church? The sixth reason is that you don't want to miss the Lord's table. Occasionally somebody come to church and say, Lee, I got to leave early. I'm going to leave before your sermon. I'm going to leave after the Lord's Supper. Hurts my feelings, but I want to tell you, they chose the right time to leave if they're going to leave. They keep on doing that. I'm going to put the Lord's Supper at the end. No. But I want to tell you, that's the most important part of the service. And you ought not to miss that unless there is absolutely just no way you can be here. Just absolutely no way. You broke your back and both legs and one of your arms. And even then, you ought to try to be here. Not to hear my sermon, but to partake of the Lord's Supper. Since you've got my notes in your hands and I don't, we're going to try to get over the six reasons. The first one was, you're commanded to, right? You're supposed to be helping me, so be looking at those notes. The first one is, because it is commanded. The second one is, because the church belongs to Jesus Christ. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. The third one is because Jesus purchased the blood, the church with His own blood. The fourth one is because you love each other. Because you love other Christians. The fifth one is because there's an example of New Testament church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. And the sixth one is the peck of communion, the Lord's Supper. I dare somebody to say, Lee, do I need to come to church to be a Christian? I just gave you six reasons why you need to come to church if you're a Christian. Somebody say, can I be a Christian and not come to church? Not for long. Six biblical reasons why you ought to come to church. Now, you are kind of in an exclusive club. You've been in the church service every Sunday in 2008. Right? I hope I can say the same thing about you the last Sunday of December 2008. You've been in church every Sunday in 2008.